Hello, everybody. Eugenio de Oliveira, Greater Philadelphia Chapter. You're listening to White Canes Connect.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of White Canes Connect. My name is David Goldstein from the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. Joining me, as always, is co-host Lisa Bryant. Lisa, how are you tonight?
Hey there, David. I am doing well. Great episode ahead. Did you know about the Blind Bowlers League here?
I did not, and I just think it's a great thing for folks to get together, maybe not so much during COVID, but to get out and be active with other people. I just think it's a great idea. And, you know, nothing that's too strenuous, I hope, for folks.
Yeah. And folks should know, I mean, you'll hear in this episode, this is not just a social gathering. These people are pretty serious bowlers. So let's have a listen.
We're excited to welcome two representatives from the American Blind Bowling Association to White Canes Connect. We've got Mike Patterson and Eugenio de Oliveira. You might recognize Eugenio's name. He is the treasurer of the Greater Philly Chapter. Mike and Eugenio, it is great to have you on today's episode.
Good to be here.
Great. Pleasure to be with you.
Hi, guys. It's Lisa. And I can't say enough also with David how excited we are to have you guys. This is a great opportunity to talk about something a little off the beaten path. Not that bowling is off the beaten path, but I think people outside of our community are sometimes amazed at what folks who are blind and visually impaired can do. So this is a great opportunity to kind of show our stuff off, strut our stuff, as they say. So Mike, you are president of the Delaware Valley League of the ABBBA. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So tell us how you came to the league, how you came to be in the bowling in general, and how you rose up through the ranks as president.
Well, actually, bowling for the blind, it's been around for many, many years. Actually, it started in Philadelphia in 1946. And little by little, it grew outwards from Philadelphia and grew across the country. Somewhere, I would say, probably maybe 70 to 80 leagues all across the country. And that I know of, probably the combined membership of ABBA is about a little less than 2,000 people, 2,000 bowlers.
Wow.
And I started in 1975 as a what they would call as a substitute bowler, by where if a regular bowler would be not available to bowl, they would be missing that day or that night. For Delaware Valley, then they would call me and say, would you like to take somebody's place? I said, fine, you know, and then little by little, I got hooked up. Well, a couple of people dropped out, so eventually I was able to get a spot on one of the teams. And then little by little, they put me on some committees, something like a legislative committee or a nominating committee. And little by little, like 2004, they elected me as president of that league, where I had the duties of hearing all the complaints, make sure and everything stays in shape, that the bowling house is paid, that the audit committee does their financial duties, and the treasurer does all of his duties, and just make sure when somebody has to be told that you're missing too many weeks, or, you know, I'm the one that has to be almost like the Terminator. I get all the tasks of keeping the league in fine shape. It's a structured league. You got to be there every week or whenever the schedule says so. And that could run from each league has different different rules, let's say. They're basically regular bowling rules that come from it used to be called the ABC, which would have meant American Bowling Congress. And that was changed to United States Bowling Congress, USBC.
Mike, and I want to get back, Mike, I want to get back to the structure in a minute. But before all of that stuff, I want to know how you came to be a bowler, because clearly you were like the understudy, so you must have already had some kind of skills. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I bowled it when I was in high school, and I knew a couple of people who were in a blind league, and I just tried to expand my social activities and meet a lot of good people along the line. And they asked me to come out 1 week, and I tried out, and they said, well, yeah, okay, we'll put you on the sub list and we'll go from there.
Wow. So, Eugenio, what's your bowling story?
Well, in high school, it was a class, bowling class. It was part of the sports curriculum. So I started bowling in high school. After that, graduating from high school, just going to bowling parties, bowling, but not in a league. Mm-hmm. And then one day I met a gentleman by Leonard Montgomery when I lost my sight, and he introduced me to the bowling league. I came into the bowling league as a substitute and eventually became a full-time bowler.
And that was when?
2004.
Okay.
So you had started bowling before you had lost your vision. Mike, are you in the same boat? Did you bowl before you were blind, or did you, it all started after that?
No, I started before I lost my sight.
Okay. But I'm sure there's folks in the league that, you know, have been either blind from birth or started after they've gone blind. Is that true?
Yes. And that's part of the stuff you pick up, how the pins are configured, the length of the lane, what you really need, techniques you have to do to get a little bit better.
Right. That's my point. You know, when you can see whether it's a little bit or even before you've lost any vision, you kind of see, you know, the form someone uses. But if you were to start, once you've lost your sight, you know, you've got to pick that up a different way. And I'm just wondering how difficult that is on folks to come in.
It is, but like I said, they really have to be, mobile. You know, they have to have some type of coordination,
right, of course,
to stay parallel with the lane. They have to the weight of the bowling balls are the lowest one you're really allowed to do is 10 pounds. Okay. So you have to really have some type of physical strength to throw a 10-pound ball. It goes up to 16 pounds. That's the maximum you can use. And some people can't do that. So, you know, you got to really find what is the best weight, And when you throw it, there's people there to tell you, this ball isn't going to work for you because it's constantly in the gutter, or it's too heavy, or your arm is not strong enough, or, you know, and you got to kind of figure that out on the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, and bowling also.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to piggyback. Also, bowling is just a technique. It's like football, a quarterback throwing a ball. You have to have a certain technique. Baseball, you have to have a certain technique. Bowling is also, you have to have a certain technique. The way your body is structured, standing straight up, releasing the ball, how many steps you have to take. And for people who cannot see the lanes, we have railings that keep us straight.
Okay.
So when we're releasing the ball, we use the rail to keep our body straight towards the pins on the lane.
Okay. You know, as you guys are talking, I'm having flashbacks to when my kids were little and, you know, we had bowling parties when they were, you know, like in first and second grade and whatnot. And, you know, and they put they didn't have this when I was a kid. They put the gutter rails up. So it's impossible to throw a gutter ball, though. My daughter did somehow get the ball to go into another lane once. But, you know, and when you can't see and you know those things are there, then you can kind of start playing rebounds and, you know, bank shots and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're called gutter bumpers.
Okay.
But we do not use them.
Okay.
Because, first of all, the object of the whole sport is to hit the pins.
Right.
Now, Gina was saying about rails. They're mobile rails that stand about 4 feet high, and it's just a straight metal rail that goes right along and stays parallel with the with the lane.
Okay.
And they're if you're right-handed, well, you're going to throw the ball with your right hand.
Okay.
You keep your left hand on the guide rail.
Gotcha.
You know, you're just going to guide your hand along as you take your steps before you throw your ball. Actually, some people use it as a balance beam, but then, how good is that?
Right.
So, it's just a guide rail to keep your body straight.
Right.
That you're not, by the time you get to the point where you're going to release the ball, you're not going to be facing two lanes across from you. You're going to be straight there at your lane.
Right. Okay.
And that takes time and a little learning.
Yeah. So we were talking, before we went to this topic, we were talking about how people, you know, you have to have some sort of skill. You have to have a certain amount of mobility, and you have to have a certain amount of strength. How do you put together a team? Because you'll have not only those things, you know, those physical differences, but you'll also have those different levels or that various spectrum of vision. So how do you put together balanced teams?
Well, when you first come into a league, and most leagues would do it, they would set up some type of a time where anybody's interested in it and they think they can expand their social activities, and they would set up some type of time where people would come out and try it out, and whoever's running it, whatever, they would evaluate them and say, this sport isn't for you, or yeah, you're pretty good. And because I had a couple of years ago, we set up something, and one person, we were on lane one and two, and he was on lane one, and when he released the ball, it wound up on lane two.
Oh my gosh.
And that could be very dangerous, and you can hurt somebody. And, you know, maybe, okay, it happened one time, but it was pretty consistent. And I just had to say, no, this this may not be for you. Maybe we would suggest them to go out and practice and get the format down to what you have to do. And really doesn't matter as far as what size you are. I have people who were, you know, 6'3". I have people who are 80 years old. Not too many young ones, but when you learn it, and you could be pretty good. Now, getting back to how teams formatted, well, okay, you would go out and you would try out and they would let you know. And usually, like Gino said, and I said, they would place you on a substitute list until there was a vacancy. Mm-hmm. And some leagues do it differently. Some leagues have a team committee, maybe of two or three people, and they would set up the teams based upon established average of three games or whatever, the end of year average, and they would spread it out to make all the teams very close as far as team average. In Delaware Valley, we have kind of a drafting system by where a selected group, and it changes from year to year, that these individuals are able to pick their own team, their own teammates. Okay. I really never bowl with Gino. He might be pretty good, so I'm going to pick him on my team. they're one of my friends, but I never get the bowl with them, so I'll pick him, you know. And there's no logical reason as far as putting a real good competitive team together. Somewhere along the line, something happens. You know, they pick their friends, they pick who they didn't bowl with before. It's all kinds of real weird reasons. So, and that's how they pick the teams, based upon how many teams they're going to have, if it's going to be 6 or 8 teams, or if it's going to be 4-person team, 5-person team. You know, that's a drafting system. Other leagues do it. They pick names out of the hat. You know, so it's really no required way how you have to do it. ABBA doesn't tell us how we're supposed to make up our teams. They don't tell us how many weeks we have to bowl. They're just a governing body. We follow their rules administratively. We follow ABC rules, bowling rules. But you can have your own rules, your own committees. You're kind of free to do what your league wants to do.
Yeah. So I want to bring Eugenio in here to talk about how, because I've already gotten the sense from Mike that this is not for the faint of heart. You guys do play in a competitive way. It's not just, I mean, you have fun, I'm sure, but it's more than just a social kind of gathering. Like, there are tournaments that you go to, and their practices. Mike, you mentioned that, you know, sometimes if somebody is missing too many practices, you may have to get cut. So, Eugenia, I wonder if you would talk about just the commitment that's involved and how it's been working for you.
Like Mike Patterson said, the commitment is, if we bowl on Mondays, they expect you to be there on Mondays. If you are going to call out, at least give them a day or two notice so they could call a substitute. But going back to what you said, it is a competitive league, but also we have people with low averages and high averages. So some people come in with an average of like 20, an average of 20. They bowl about a 20 pins a week, but they still come bowling every week. But like you said, it's competitive, but we expect everybody to be there every week. It's a very structured league. We also have, like the NFB has a constitution, we have bylaws and rules that we have to follow for the league. So it's not like we're just getting together on Monday, just bowling. We have bylaws to abide by and follow when we are in this league.
Yeah. And are there dues? Because Mike, I heard you say there's a treasurer, so people pay dues to be in the league?
Yes, and that probably distinguishes it from open social bowling. You have dues that you must pay every week to the league. There are certain membership dues that you pay into the National Association once a year, and that's basically to pay the bowling costs from the house. There's other things that your league may be able to do that's a part of that. Our league right now is $15 a week. Now, if you go to, let's say, a strictly sided league, I can guarantee you you're paying about $45-$50 a week in dues, where at the end of the year, yeah, they'll give you prize money of maybe $400 or $500. You're not going to get it from our league. You'll get trophies, and you'll get some point prize money, and we give some awards out, the highest game, high series, or even the most improved bowler within that year. You know, we'll splurge for a banquet, a award banquet. We may do something in during a year where people can have some little fun. At Thanksgiving time, we have what they call a turkey roll-off. And that's open to everybody. You don't have to pay for it. It's part of the league. And if you're the most over average, we give you prize money for it. Same way for holiday during the Christmas and New Year's. We used to have it right before New Year's, and we called it the whiskey roll-off. But little by little, the alcoholics passed away from the league.
Oh,
so,
no.
So now we call it a holiday roll-off, and it's structured the same way. If you're the highest one over average on your team, you get a prize, a monetary prize. And you may have special things like that. ABBA is not going to get on you about giving out money like that, but that's part of your dues.
You typically go to the same, I'm guessing, each year that you, first of all, how long is a season?
Okay. I know where you were getting to.
Okay.
Usually, practically all the time, you're going to stay in the same bowling house facilities.
Okay.
And usually, you will be tied into a contract with them.
Okay.
That you have to have a certain number of people there, whatever. You know, if anything's missing, guess what? You're still paying. You pay a flat fee, whatever, and that's part of your dues. You part of your
right.
Practically 90-95% of your dues is going straight to the house.
Okay.
And you're going to go. You sign a contract every Monday. We will have X amount of people, 28 or 32 people there. And there's if we have to call out for a snow day or whatever, there's different conditions within the contract, but you're bound to a contract with the house.
Okay. And for how many weeks is that?
It differs from league to league.
Okay.
So, and you got to kind of negotiate with the house. Some leagues, they have 30-week schedule. Some the bowling house sees that there is regular income every Monday that we're going to get. Now, you know, sometimes they tie us into a 34-week schedule, or it all depends what the league wants to do. If they want to only do 30, well, you got to kind of negotiate that with the house.
Okay, gotcha.
And,
So what has our Delaware Valley League been doing? And I know, of course, all of last year was kind of a washout, but I think you said you're starting up again in September. Do you know how long that the season will run when you start back up in person in September?
Actually, Delaware Valley's been pretty lucky. Last year, we bowled, and then we got shut down in March.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was the beginning of March. And we couldn't do anything. The house was closed. Everything was shut down or whatever. And then it eased up a little bit to where places were starting to open, but you had certain conditions there. You know, you had to wear a mask and whatever, such. But we were lucky. Well, we had one end of the bowling alley, and there was another league at the other end of the bowling alley. That was a sided league. But they chose not to bowl. And beginning in, we eased up. I tried to get it started back up so we could finish in July. And the house said, no way. They said, you come back and talk to us in August. So I did that, and we were able to finish up our season in August. We had to do two nights to double up for the time we missed.
Okay.
And then we finished that. So then now we're able to then we started up. I guess that was 2 years ago. Then we started up in September, which we got shut down in January for like a month. And then we started in January, and we went through to May of this year. So we were able to kind of work around the COVID virus. But a lot of that stuff is in negotiations with the bowling house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had certain restrictions from the CDC or the county or the city, and the other league I belong to, they were not able to bowl at all for the whole entire year.
Okay.
So, and they're just trying to start to put everything together and hopefully bowl this year.
Okay. Eugenio, so are there guys and girls that bowl, or is it strictly just guys?
No, it's both females and males, all ages. The oldest is probably close to 80 and above, and she has one of the highest averages in the league.
Well, that's another question, because I feel like I would be among the lowest. But I do have a little bit of vision. Now, would I need to wear, you know, in some sports, you know, everyone has to wear, you know, a blindfold so everybody's competing on the same level. Is that the case with the bowling?
No.
Okay.
No, because we judge your ability on what you perform, what you do.
Okay.
We have a bowler where she started a couple years ago. Actually, I had another girl that probably a lot of you know, but she started out with a 28. And, you know, if I picked you on my team and you only had a 30, well, I expect you to come every week and get close as you can to your 30 average, or you might even do better. Mm-hmm. Actually, this girl, she kicked my team's butt by bowling a 73. So, and you're going to have those nights, you know, but that's right. The only way you get better. We don't force anybody to wear blindfolds or whatever. You measure yourself based upon what you do that night.
Okay,
and
I got
you. Get better, you know. We don't criticize you or do anything if you have low average or high average or whatever. It all goes together, but you're actually competing against yourself, first of all.
Okay.
And then you're competing against the other team.
Yeah. That's what I was curious about. And Mike, you and I had talked about this before. So there's a tournament every year, right? You said, I think, when is the tournament that
right.
you go to?
It's the ABBA National Tournament and Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually occurs around the Memorial Day weekend. And they kind of do that for a couple of reasons, that it's a pretty good time. Most of the leagues are pretty well finished at the beginning of May, so it's kind of easy for everybody to get together. You could always hook it up with a vacation. It's always in a different city, different state. And they have a general membership meeting, you know, to express your displeasure or something or whatever. I kind of like it too, because I just go and bowl and you go and bowl a lot more games than three. You might bowl 9 games that week spread over 4-5 days. And you get out in a certain city, and you get to know what the city's like. You meet a lot of friends from other different leagues. What I like is probably your conventions. They usually have some type of expo where they show all these new gadgets, technology gadgets that's mm-hmm. coming up. That's
sounds,
really cool.
Sounds like a NFB convention. Eugenio, have you gone?
No.
You've never
Not
gone?
Yet.
Okay.
No.
But a lot of times it differs from league to league. Sometimes there's some leagues, the county will pay your way, your transportation, your hotel, whatever, to that tournament, or maybe there might be a local tournament. Other leagues, they kind of do it a little different. My league, you pay your way. However, we may pay your entry fee into the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to go, let's stay 2 days or 5 days or, you know, whatever it may be, that is your vacation expense, not
mm-hmm.
ours.
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense. And as far as where your league bowls in this area, is it in Philadelphia? Is it somewhere, one of the suburbs?
No, there's the Delaware Valley is in Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And there's another league, and we bowl Monday, and there's another league that I belong to. Gino doesn't, but that's in Northeast Philadelphia, and they bowl on Saturday morning, because some people... they didn't want to go to work on Monday and then go out bowling.
Gotcha.
And they figure Saturday morning, it's a lot easier, a lot better, and they do it there.
Now, about how many people do you have in the Delaware Valley? And then about how many, do you know how many leagues there are in the state of Pennsylvania?
I can think of... Well, there's two here. I know there's one in Allentown. There's one or two in Pittsburgh. There's a Harrisburg one. I'm not sure if they're still in existence. There used to be one in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Mm.
And for you to find out if one's there, then you go to the website, the ABBA website.
Okay.
And they'll tell you the... what leagues and what contacts you really need to know from there.
And about how many people are in the Delaware Valley League, and do you have slots open now? Or if anyone wanted to come on, would they have to first come on as a substitute?
Yeah, well, usually we would suggest them going as a substitute because, we would first they ask, have you bowled before? Have you been in any other leagues? You know, we have an idea. We have right now, we have 24 people. We used to have over 40, 45 people at one time. But little by little, people get older or they get not able to handle the physical requirement to do it, so they drop out. But right now we got 24, and we are always looking for bowlers even to be on substitute list.
Okay.
The one in the Northeast Philly, that's Philadelphia area blind bowlers. Right now they have 16 regular bowlers and a substitute complement list. But you're always looking for new ones.
And just to get back to you, sorry, go ahead, Eugenio.
I was just going to say, you wanted to know, we bowl in Drexel Hill.
That was my question, because I'm in Delaware County, and I know I'm good for about three or four frames until my psoriatic arthritis would knock me out. But I think I could do okay. I mean,
okay.
So let's move on from that to, if somebody who's listening wants to get involved, and maybe they've never bowled before, what would you suggest?
I would suggest, contact the league near you, see if they have a time or date where they would be. Every league's looking for new bowlers. See if they have a time or date that they could come out and try it out, or if they know somebody who has a bowling rail. They're pretty expensive and they're very limited as where you get them. You can't go down the Models and whatever. You can't buy them through there.
Okay.
And they range about, the last price I saw was $395.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the league, I'm sorry, Mike. So the league purchases the rails and brings them to the bowling house? Is that how that works?
Well, that kind of differs. Most leagues, they're pretty lucky. The league will purchase a rail, and in our case, the house will store them, break them down, and assemble them for us. They store them. Most of the leagues are like that too. So a lot of times you just got to grab your ball and come and go and bowl.
Right.
All the other administrative stuff that's probably put on certain people like me, treasurer or secretary. But the rails are maintained, repair and stuff like that. That gets put on the league. The house will store them for you most of the time.
Do you guys have cool jackets? Did you hear that, Mike? Have cool jackets that you wear?
Oh, well, it used to be the trend that the bowling leagues would buy bowling shirts, you know, and you know, say their name on the back or whatever, or the person's name on the front or whatever. But that, it all depends what the league wants to do. You're not required to bring a uniform or anything like that.
Okay.
That was actually going to be one of my questions, whether you guys had shirts, whether it's t-shirts or bowling shirts or whatever. And how about sponsors? Do you have sponsors? Obviously, if you had shirts, you could do sponsors and whatnot.
Certain leagues, they have shirts that they put their sponsors on. Most of the leagues do have sponsorship somehow. Delaware Valley, our main sponsor is Springfield Delaware County Lions Club.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I know for a fact that a lot of leagues, they do get a lot of fundraising from the Lions Club.
Okay. Now, as far as talking about cost, if somebody is listening and says, oh, this sounds like fun to me, what would it cost someone even before they join the league? So you need to have shoes and you need a ball. Both of those, you could, even though you're in a league, you could still rent those at the beginning. Is that right or no?
Yes. Most bowling houses, that they'll rent you, or they'll allow you to rent the shoes.
Okay.
And it's really not that expensive. It might be $2 for the night or whatever.
Right.
They always have plenty of bowling balls on the racks. They're house balls.
Right.
And you can use that. But as you get into it, it's always a good idea to have your own equipment.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you may go out and buy a ball, and it can be a little expensive too.
Okay.
I mean, but you could go out and buy a ball for $40 and get it drilled, the holes drilled to your size, your finger configuration. Or you could go out and buy a $400 ball, which may be better for the conditions of the lanes. It could be polyurethane ball, it could be a plastic ball, rubber ball, rubber core ball, and there's different lanes where they could be, there's wooden lanes where a lot of the old houses would have, or they're synthetic lanes where the more modern lanes use.
Okay. And how about shoes? How much do they run usually?
Last pair of shoes I bought was like, I think about $46.
Oh, so, okay. So not, so getting involved really isn't a huge cost. If you figure, hey, this is something I'm going to do for 30 weeks a year, give or take. It's not, there's not a high cost of entry to it. So, it just sounds like it's, you know, it would be a lot of fun. And obviously as you go and you get better and you really enjoy it, maybe you get, you say, oh, I'm going to move up and I'm going to get this ball now because I
sure.
And David, that's a good point. I was thinking of Eugenio. You've been in the league, I think you said, since 04. So talk about how you've seen how you've grown and improved. And do you have your own shoes? You have your own ball? How much have you, you know, invested into the sport?
Yes, I have my own shoes and I have my own balls. And like Mike said, you had your ups and downs. Some weeks you might bowl a terrific game, 40, 50 points over your average, and then next week you have a bummer game. You might be 20 or 30 games beneath your average.
Okay.
So that's how, but as long as you come every week, practice, take time. And
yeah.
Now, do you practice a lot outside of the, you know, so you bowl on Monday night, do you practice any other time, or is there practice before the league, or how does that work?
For me personally, I just bowl on Mondays. Some people like Mike and a couple other guys, they bowl in two leagues. So they bowl twice, and they've been doing it for such a long time that their technique, they already have it down pat. But some guys, they used to come out in the afternoons and bowl during the week.
Okay.
But it's up to the individual.
So Mike, am I putting you on the spot by asking you what's your average?
I average about 120. My highest game, 300 points, it was a 223.
Wow.
Haven't got there yet. Going back to it. But you can have, you know, like Gino said, you can have some good days where wherever you drop the ball, it doesn't matter. It's still going to go into the right spot. Other times, you just can't figure it out for yourself. So you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. You're not going to be criticized because you had a bad night, you know, because everybody does.
Right.
And we don't expect everybody to be real, real high bowlers. Now, you know, we do have sighted people, and they're called auxiliaries. They tell us, try to help us, what we're doing wrong, or where the ball is going. So if it's going too far to the right, okay, fine. Then you know you got to figure out. Gino has to figure out. He has to lay his ball down a little more to the left. you know, and they key scored our pin spotters. They tell us what pins we have left over. They're scorekeepers. They keep track of the scores. And they're allowed. They have all rights of membership as well. Mm. And some of them are pretty good. And some, you know, they struggle. Mm-hmm. But you're not criticized. You know, I think it might have been a couple times Gino might have been on the trading block, but he got his act together.
So but you decided to keep him around, huh?
Yeah.
So as far as the scorekeeping goes, and you know, you've been in it for quite a while, so I'm guessing that moving from the paper score sheets of back in the day to now today's electronic scoring, has that made it any easier? And are those things at all accessible for you to hear? Again, I know the last time I went bowling and it was electronic, somebody was reading me, oh, this is how, you know, this person has this right. much and this person has that much. Is that how it is, or is there any kind of
No, I haven't really seen any lanes or in any house where it would be verbally, you know, through jaws or whatever, okay. Tell you what. It's mainly to scorekeepers. Now, years ago, I know Rook School for the Blind had it, that where the tables were at the beginning of lanes, they would have a console, and they would have kind of two boards, one that was up a little bit, about a 45 degree angle. They would have lights, little tiny lights, and the partials would be able to see what pins were left.
Okay.
Now, down a little further, it was a flat table there. They had metal, I would say, the size of like a piston or a pin that would come up, and it would be in the same configuration. And if you left one pin on the left, that pin would come up. All the other pins would stay down.
Okay.
I thought it was the greatest thing of all. But as far as I know, the copyright or the patent to that system was, I think it was bought out by Science Products for the Blind, and it just never really, really ever developed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have thought this has been great. Mike, you are really a wealth of info with this. You have such history. You're like a one-man history, live history of the bowling league, blind bowling league in Philadelphia. So thank you for sharing all of this history with us. Eugenio, was there anything you wanted to add to the league and maybe make a pitch for other members, potential members out there who might, you know, they might be able to do a little something, but they don't know how to get started, or maybe they feel sort of intimidated? Want to make a pitch?
The only thing I could say, since we're in Drexel, you have a couple of members that are close to the bowling alley. So if they want to come out and join, practice, come out, give Mike a call. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's Mondays, 6 o'clock, starts at 6 o'clock. We usually end around 9 p.m. And like I said, you have a couple of members that live near Drexel Hill. So if that's suitable for them, they're welcome to come out and participate and join the league.
I have to tell you that after listening, as I mentioned, I have psoriatic arthritis, and I'm thinking, you know, I think I could do this for, again, you know, maybe 4 or 5 frames. If I bring an ice bucket, maybe a few more, where after that, there's just going to be gutter ball after gutter ball, because I'm just not going to be able to, it's going to be more than my hand that's going to, but it's, you know, the fact that it's in Drexel Hill is obviously very close to me. And so it sounds fun. It sounds like a lot of fun. You have fun doing it. You're being active. You're being social. And it's so important for a lot of us, you know, just to be out and about. And
yeah.
I really want to thank you guys for coming on. And Mike, where could people go to learn more?
Okay. Like I said, they can go to the national organization. It's called American Blind Bowling Association. Their website is ABBA, 1950.com.
50 or 51, Mike?
51. 1951.com.
Yes. Okay. So we'll put that in the show notes so people can find that.
If they would like to contact me, they can email me at michael.patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, 1975, at earthlink.net, or they can call me at 215-813-1253. And, you know, if they're really not sure who's in that area, and if they can't get the information, maybe from ABBA, give me a call, and I'll certainly track a lead down for you. There's not that many, you know, few and far in between, but I could get you on the right path if you know a bunch of people within that area who would like to start a league. There's certain requirements that you got to do, but I certainly try to help you with it. And like I said, a lot of people, you must be 18 or older.
Okay.
You can't be, but ABBA, they have certain requirements. They have a junior league where they can kind of participate with your league, but the main restriction for that is that you cannot award them cash monetary awards. If we have fundraiser, we have little fundraisers during the league. One of our biggest fundraisers, and everybody loves it, that we have, I do most of it, we sell little tickets. These are roll tickets, and you buy them $1 a ticket. We'll tell you your number. Now, when I draw the ticket number, the next time you go up on the lane and you throw a strike, you get half the pot.
Wow.
So there's a little encouragement there. Or we do have like Lucky Buck and 50-50. But okay. That's one of our encourages the people. Hey, I want to get up here and get a strike or whatever, you know.
Right.
And there's been some big winners. But that's one of our fundraisers where ABBA is not going to delegate to us how our fundraisers are.
Gotcha.
You know, that's part of our funding combined with the Lions Club. And, you know, we don't sell cookies or anything like that.
Or M&Ms.
Mainly, we tried selling candy like that, but it just not everybody gets it because they have diabetes or other problems or dental work has to be done or whatever. But everybody has a good time and, you know, it's fun. And you get out there and, you check to see, you know, how's everybody doing? And we had to go through a lot of, we got some of these, during the virus, made sure that everybody was separated, and we had Lysol wipes. We wiped the rails down. We wiped the chairs down. You were able to take them if you wanted to wipe your hands off or whatever. Had the latex gloves that you can use, so you wouldn't be touching everything else. We did just about everything we could think of to keep it safe, and we were able to get through the season.
Okay.
And everybody, you know, was required to wear a mask, not when you were on the lanes, but if you were down in the arena part, you had to. And everybody heard to it. And we made it through it, you know, and it's an outing for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, transportation-wise, if you have to take the bus or the subway or whatever, that is on you. That's another expense.
Yeah.
There's a commitment and a certain personal expense that you got to go through. But the main thing is the commitment to be there if you're going to sign up.
Right.
Gotcha.
I really don't need people just to come off the street and say, oh yeah, this sounds great. No, right. You have to have some type of physical ability, you know, and some people I really, really had to turn down because it just really wasn't going to work. And that's the most honest thing I could tell the person.
Yeah.
Maybe darts or something else would be better for them. And that's
pick
pretty
another
big
hobby.
There's other sports out there, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mike and Eugenio, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. Anyone out there, hope you got that contact information. If not, we will definitely, as David said, have it in the show notes. Can people come out, Mike, and just kind of watch you guys play if they want and just kind of get a feel for it that way?
Yeah, that would be the first thing I would have them do. Mm-hmm. Come out. You know, they can sit in the back or whatever and check it out,
right?
You know, and see what kind of pace you are bowling at. You know,
right.
We're not going to wait 10 minutes for somebody to throw a ball and then wait 10 minutes more and throw another ball, whatever. You got to see what the pace is like and who's all around you. And then,
right.
You could come out, check it out, and then maybe say, maybe I will do this. And then, I'm trying to set up in a little later in August. I haven't done it yet for people who's interested. If they want to come out, we'll check them out.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, gentlemen, we thank you.
Okay. If anybody is really interested, they can contact me through the email or through the phone number we gave you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you, Eugenio.
Yeah, thank both of y'all.
Thanks again to Mike and Eugenio for coming on and talking all about the blind bowling that they do. And it really does sound like a lot of fun. So if you want to get out there, it's a great time to try. And even if you don't want to join the league, just give it a try. Maybe it's something that you like and you'll want to do on a regular basis.
Yeah. And the league, at least the Delaware Valley League, remember Mike mentioned there are two Philadelphia area leagues. The Delaware Valley League will be starting up in-person practices on September 13th. So feel free to contact Mike about that for more information.
And we will have Mike's contact information in the show notes. You could also go to ABBA1951.com. That's ABBA1951.com if you want to read more about it and check out what they do. Again, just sounds like a lot of fun, some camaraderie going on and a little bit of exercise too.
Yeah. So again, we always like to remind you, we welcome your suggestions, your feedback. Feel free to contact me and David at whitecanesconnect@gmail.com. That's whitecanesconnect@gmail.com.
And we look forward to hearing what your chapter is doing, or if you have suggestions on an upcoming episode, we'd really love to hear from you. And a couple of things that we're going to be working on over the next few weeks to a month. You know, with the state convention coming up in November, we've got some good episodes planned, and we hope to hear from a few folks talking about that. And while we're talking about the state convention, if you want to register, read all about what's going on at the state convention, go to nfbp.org/convention, and you can check everything out there. There's a link there so you can get to registration. And if you do register by the end of September, it is a lower fee, and unless you wait until October to decide to register. It's a great rate at the hotel there. I know some folks are probably going to wait because of COVID, but it is something that you could at least register for the convention coming up. And again, that's nfbp.org/convention to check it out.
And David, don't forget about our Believe You Can 2021 virtual talent show. As they say, anywhere and everywhere, because it's virtual. We welcome all types of talent. If you participated last year, we are asking you to sort of hold back on submitting something for this year, as we'd like to have a fresh round of acts and performers. Again, this is a talent show for all levels, professional, amateur, all are welcome. We do ask that you be a member of the blind and visually impaired community, not necessarily an NFB member. And if you are interested, I can post the entry form on the show notes, but feel free to contact me at L Marcel Bryant. That's LMARCELBRYANT@gmail.com.
And as always, if you want to learn more and you want to read about last year's Believe You Can 2020, you can head over to that website, believeyoucan.live. That's believeyoucan.live. Tickets are also on sale if you just want to watch all the folks. And I've promised folks that I would not perform, but I love to sing, and I sing all the time. I make up songs when I'm making dinner or getting my dessert or berries or taking the dog for a walk. And my family thinks I'm crazy, which may or may not be true. But please, if you want to join and you've got some sort of act that you can do, remember, if you're a stand-up comic, keep it PG. It is family friendly. And, you know, reach out to Lisa and she will get you a form so you can fill out and tell us a little about yourself and we can go from there.
Yeah. So another great show. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Lisa. It has been great. And again, check out all the blind bowling info at ABBA1951.com. Everything will be in the show notes if you want to get in touch with Mike or want to find out more about Believe You Can 2021. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, everybody. So long.